microwaved coffee.
So you're doing calories?
Yeah, not entirely. It just, it helps me.
It kind of, it's like a guideline.
Counting it helps me visualize how I should eat. So yes, like a lot of people are like, you shouldn't count. And I'm like, I'm not like necessarily counting. Yeah. It just helps me see like, oh, this burger is like 500 calories. Like it helps me remember. So that way when I go out, because I'm obviously the apps don't have every restaurant.
Yeah.
So when I go out, I'm like, okay, so that's probably like that much. And then I can kind of see like, and then I'm also trying to eat more protein than carbs or what's the other one? Fat.
Yeah. You're like, what's that other thing?
Yeah. And then obviously more carbs than fat, but.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a balance thing.
Yeah.
So that's why, that's what I do it for really, is to like, I'm trying to memorize like what I can eat and how it counts.
Yeah. I mean,
but finding protein when you don't eat a lot of meat is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why, or you get sick of like the beans and the, you know, the usual,
like nuts have fat.
Yeah. I just don't like making beans. Like,
yeah, they take forever. Protein shakes are like,
protein shakes help because you'd have to eat a ton of vegetables. I don't think I can get that protein. The amount of protein I want to get is like not enough with just beans.
So there was
even if I had beans, I would still probably drink the shake.
I'm sure I've said this before, but there was a long time. I'm talking about before he was well known. Dr. Oz and this other surgeon wrote a book on like maintaining a healthy weight or like a healthy lifestyle or whatever, and they had a show. It was like a 3-part series or something, and they took this group of people and they put them in a zoo. Like they made them live in like a natural habitat. I mean, like they had like beds and stuff like that, but they put them in a zoo, and every morning they would give them a basket of 10 pounds of food, but it was just raw produce, and they were like, this is all you can eat, but you have to eat all of it by the end of the day. And they like lost a shit ton of weight. And then like, you know, these are people that were like had diabetes, that were like had heart problems. And like, yeah, after a couple weeks.
It's really just cutting out fat.
Yeah. But it worked out like a detox. Like a lot of people said like, oh, it was weird. I just like don't crave sugar like I did before not as much as we did before, or like the fat and all that stuff. And so, but it was like, it kind of showed them how quickly you can get filled up with other stuff and how little actual junk food fills you up. Like you feel full, but it's not giving you any nutrition. Like you don't feel great.
That whole thing, I don't know. Cause I've done it.
Vanessa with and what? I went like just raw vegetables.
Yeah. Vanessa and I went like 3 months, I think.
Yeah. Like it's not something that's sustainable, but I think they just wanted to show them like, look what happens if you just incorporate some of this into your diet as opposed to the other empty calories that you've been like.
Yeah, because like the whole thing, like how people are like, you don't crave sugar, you don't, and like, yeah, you do. You're just telling yourself that, but you really do. Like, it may not be as much, but you see it, and you're like,
damn, well, fruit satisfied that craving, whereas before. They were like, no, this didn't, you know, before it was like, no, it has to be like desserts, cakes and stuff like that.
I don't know. I have issues. I've seen that Dr. Oz thing, and then I've seen other people do that too.
Well, and it works for some people because I have a relative that it did work. Like to this day, they did this like 20 years ago. And to this day, they're like, you could put cupcakes in front of them. And they're like, no,
I just don't know that it works in the way that they think it does. Like she made a choice to not eat that anymore, so maybe she doesn't want it anymore, because I could sit there and not eat a freaking cupcake either. They bring like every day at work too. At this place I just started working, they bring like donuts, they bring scones, like they're still scones there. And I'm like, well, I haven't had any of it. I mean, it's just,
but I think it also is part of how you felt when you had, like, I think part of it is that people look at the stuff, remember how they felt, and go, yeah, maybe I don't want, you know what I mean? Like maybe that's what's pushing them also to not eat it. It's not so much like that they're not craving it, but being like, yeah, I remember I felt really shitty.
Like the whole thing, like that fruit substitute and like the sugar or whatever, it really doesn't. It's like a different type of sugar.
Yeah.
And it really does
that wouldn't
not
work for me.
But isn't but isn't that the point? Like to detox you from
But that's what I'm saying. It's like that, like that's why I never believe like when they're like and all everyone replaced their sugar and I'm just like, no. It really doesn't. Like it might work for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then after a while it might, you know, unless you completely cut it out. But yeah, no, I like to me, just from like doing stuff like with Vanessa, like with the whole health thing, it's really just like a choice. It just comes down to a choice at the end of the day. It's like, are you going to choose to do it or not? And then I think it's like how people feel after they made the choice that dictates like where they're going to go after.
Yeah.
Like if they feel good about it or
terrible, then you're okay, maybe I shouldn't remember that.
That's what I think. I think people need to get over the fact that they felt bad for eating. And I know it's like it goes deeper than that, but I'm like, if we can get people to not feel bad for eating one cupcake, it's like,
yeah, definitely. Because
like people beat themselves up. Like, I don't know.
Well, you know, I know that the.
Like Kyle, when he eats a whole cake,
Kyle, yeah,
he beats himself up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He beats himself up because he couldn't eat the second.
Yeah, because he couldn't have more. Because he didn't buy another one. Yeah, like I know that. When you were talking about like the calorie thing, it's like I know nutritionists hate Weight Watchers, but I'm like, if they didn't assign the points that they did to the food, it would be kind of great because I'm like it is a good one because it's like they're not giving you food from the get go. You join that program and they're like, hey, you're cooking your own food. Like you're not going. We're not giving you. You know, it's not like Jenny Craig or those programs.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows you. Like what you're supposed to be eating. Yeah, no.
It just depends on the person. Like if the
but what was bad was that the stuff they assign good points is terrible for you. Like it's like fat and
well, not just that, but like I think if people just see it as like, oh well, I can have that, and then now they start like kind of cheating the system.
Yeah,
as opposed to learning. I think like Weight Watchers is trying to teach you how to eat. And they kind of give you a little like extra, like so that you don't feel horrible.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know. I always try to find a way.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
The same way.
You're going to find a way to cheat.
Like video games and all this stuff. We just always try to find the most efficient way to cheat.
Yeah.
And that's really all it is.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be like, hey, I figured out that if I just have salads all day and at the end, I can have whatever I want. Like, it's it turns into that type of thing. And you're like, well, that's not.
Yeah, that's not what it is. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been.
I think it's just different for everyone.
Well, like this year.
Like, you have to find what works for you. Because, like, I know a lot of people who are very successful Weight Watchers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just depends on the person.
And for me, like, all I did was cut carbs. Like, not consume as much carbs, you know. And
but I think it gets like the reason I don't like Weight Watchers is because like I was on it for a little bit and then I did some research and I was like, yeah, I don't like this because it was sounding a lot like you said, people were finding a way to cheat, and the way to cheat is to be on Atkins, basically. Like it's basically like you're just doing Atkins because they encourage you to have these foods that are like, you know, like cheese is 1 point and it's like, but whole grain rice is 10 points. And it's like, but that's good stuff.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, eat whatever you want. It's meet your points.
I mean,
you can
eat whatever you want. Yeah. But you're going to run out of points before you hit dinner. And then by that point, you're going to be
in and out meal with a shake and animal soft fries.
And then you're going to cheat.
And then the point system is what's fucked up. Like they don't distinguish whole grains from processed.
Got it.
Like to them, bread is bread. They don't care if it's like whole wheat homemade bread versus processed white. To them, it's just like the same thing. And then the other fucked up thing is that they constantly change their point system, which is like, well, that doesn't make sense. Like, why was cheese worth 5 points and now it's one?
Yesterday was five, now it's 1 point. It's I could have like, more
what?
Cheese.
Yeah. So
yeah, and then like there's other things like people cheat by like, well, they will put like an entire avocado on their meal and it's like, well, that's still fat. Like regardless of like If it, because then some people are like, it's a healthy fat. Like, yeah, but your body still,
it's gonna read it as well.
Read it as fat. It's healthier because it's more natural and it'll digest better than like oil.
Yeah.
But yeah, like my mom was like, I'm eating an entire avocado, and I was like, you know, like you like based like on her illnesses, I was like, you shouldn't be eating that much fat. Like fat is fat, and she, and then that's my sister was like, it's a healthy fat though, and I was like,
yeah,
yeah, but listen to the second word. I was like, it's still fat. Like yeah. her system is still intaking it as fat.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, it's so hard. I just want to eat whatever
I want.
Whenever I want.
I don't know this. Like for me personally, just eating mostly vegan has helped so much because I'm like, I don't have to think about it. And it's like the laziest diet I've ever done, I think, because I just don't think about it. Although, you know what, though? I shouldn't say that because I haven't weighed myself in ages, so I don't really know. But
yeah,
I don't know. I feel better. Like, when I got my last physical, there was a big change for the better.
Yeah, yeah.
In my results, I was like, okay.
I have a solar-powered scale, remember?
That's right. TJ Maxx. I should try it.
Did it not work?
No, it works great.
Oh, okay. I was like, did you leave it under your bed and like
and forget about it?
I mean, I put batteries in there too, but
oh, okay.
Wait, yeah. I think no, it charges with like USB-C, and then also yeah, also yeah, never mind. I'm thinking of something else. Wait. It's solar powered, doesn't use batteries.
Yeah,
I need to. Yeah, I should weigh myself, and I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'll leave it out along with the like plants and stuff to like photosynthesize.
Yeah.
Photosynthesize. My skills photosynthesize.
I know some people, yeah, I think it's good to not weigh yourself.
I don't like just it.
See yourself physically is more. I have to.
It doesn't work.
You have to weigh yourself?
Yeah, I have to, like, or else I won't do, like, if I don't, like, I haven't weighed myself in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll start eating bad because I'm like, I haven't weighed myself. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then, but no, to me, it's like a game. I like turn it into a game. So I'm like, I need to see the weight. And then I see it go down. And I'm like, woo.
Yeah. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. It's so much like I feel great when I wake up and I'm like, oh, I look good today. Like,
yeah,
this
looks good. Yeah, I think that's better.
So when I notice those little changes. But
or like when you put something on and it felt a little snug and then now it doesn't.
You're like, ooh.
This whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start flexing in front of the mirror. Yeah.
Been watching anything? I know you're busy, but.
No, I was supposed to watch Loki, remember, from the last podcast. I did not. Vanessa and I slept on Sunday.
I finished WandaVision.
It was so good.
Right?
It was really good.
It's like, I think it's probably one of my favorite like Marvel things. It was so good.
It was, yeah, it was like really well made and like,
yeah, just like everything was about written,
it. Yeah.
It was done like the original sets of like those like 50s and 60s mm-hmm. like sitcoms. Yeah, one of the houses was good. The Bewitched house.
Oh, okay.
And then like, yeah, all of it was just, the cameras they used to shoot it were like based on like the era they were shooting.
Mm-hmm.
The older sitcoms, they use live audience. So it's like real laugh.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Laughter. There's certain things I did read later that they had to like, they block the audience from seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to kind of keep the secrets of like what was going to be like revealed or whatever.
That's cool. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I really like that show. Yeah. And I heard Loki's kind of the same way. That's why I want to watch it.
People have been loving it.
Wait, there's only one season, right? Of WandaVision?
Of Wanda. Yeah.
Okay.
There's only going to be one, apparently.
Okay. Because I watched it and I was like, okay, I'm going to start season two. And I was like, wait, it says suggested Loki. And I was like,
you're like, what?
Or a season?
No.
The next seasons.
Yeah, apparently, but like, I mean, WandaVision leads into the movies or something that. And then Loki got renewed for a second season. And then obviously the Captain America one or whatever is going to be a movie after or whatever.
Cool.
Yeah. But no, I haven't watched. Oh, no, that's not true. I started watching Dave While I Cook.
Oh, how is it?
It's
Dave While I Cook. I've never heard of that show.
Yeah, Dave While I Cook. It's about this guy. Wants to be a rapper, but he's a chef. it's really cool. It's not as funny as I thought it was. It's more.
What's it about?
like Atlanta, I would say.
Oh, than it is. God, Atlanta's so good.
It's more like Atlanta than it is like a comedy. I thought it was a comedy because everyone was like, the show's so funny.
Yeah, I thought it was comedy.
But it's really not. It's more, it's about the guy's life or whatever, little Dicky. Who's an actual rapper. Mm-hmm. And so he's just going through, but I think he's like over exaggerating like what happened. Because like
Marc Maron's
some
show.
Of the stuff is like ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it gets pretty real in a lot of little spots, mm-hmm. like kind of like Atlanta did. Like,
yeah, I thought Atlanta, before I watched it, I thought it was gonna be like a straight comedy. And
yeah,
like, whoa, this show's deep.
Yeah, and so is this show. So I think it's FX. So
yeah,
I think it's like kind of done the same way. So like, there's like a guy who's like bipolar, and you don't know, and yeah, mm-hmm. like it comes out, and like the reactions and stuff. Like it, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not as funny. It's more like a real show. It's like real life, basically. Yeah. And he's like a white Jewish guy trying to be a rapper. So yeah. They bring up a lot like that he didn't struggle to get there or stuff like that.
To do it.
Yeah. And I guess that was like a real issue when he was trying to get signed or whatever. It's like people were like, you don't have like a struggle, like you're everything's been handed to you and stuff like that. And
yeah, that's what I tell people about, like, that's what I tell people about country music. I'm like, you can't, I like, the only country artists I like are the ones who have gone through some shit. Because I'm like, you can't write, I don't know, in my opinion, you just can't write good country music if you haven't like gone like deep down, like you've hit rock bottom and then you write them. And I'm like, yeah, I just can't do that. Like these like pop country. I'm like, I can't do that. Like I can't listen to that stuff.
I got barbecue stand on my white t-shirt.
Like that. I'm like, I can't.
That's real life right there.
Yeah. Those are real life struggles.
She was killing me with that mini skirt.
Yeah. Not having a Tide pen.
We've all been there.
Oh man.
You can relate, don't lie.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's it. I think I also want to watch that new movie. Gunpowder Milkshake or something like that.
What is that?
It's like a female John Wick-ish movie with the.
Where is it?
It's on Netflix with
Gunpowder Milkshake.
Yeah, I liked it because of the name, and then there the girl from Cersei from Game of Thrones, and the girl from the Marvel movies, the one with the purple.
Don't look at
She's
me.
She's a redhead. With Scottish.
Purple?
Yeah, she has like all the makeup. She's like the daughter of Thanos, not the green one, the other one.
Oh, the robot one. Yeah. I know who she is. But I don't know her name. Carrie? No.
Karen.
Gillian.
Yeah.
I was like, who
the
K talking?
Was there on my
mind.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah. It's both of them, but I just saw the trailer and it's like good. Ridiculous gunfights with like all females. Yeah. And I was like, this is like the women. John Wick or whatever.
I was like,
I kind of want to watch
Jane Wick.
It's got to be better than that Alien movie we watched the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. That's the number one streamed movie on.
There's nothing else on.
Because there's exactly. There's
was it like
else.
Tomorrow Now? Or
Tomorrow hasn't died.
Tomorrow yet. War?
Tomorrow War.
Tomorrow War. I remembered and I wasn't even watching it.
Yeah.
No, there was a. It's a good thing I don't remember the name of it because I don't like trashing movies, but I saw the most ridiculous trailer where I was like, this looks like the literal worst movie that's ever been made. Like, it looks so bad, but it's about like, yeah, it's like a ridiculous action movie. I'll try to find it afterwards, but I'm like,
but
oh
I kind of like ridiculous. Sometimes you just want a ridiculous.
Yeah.
You want
especially like near 4th of July. You know? I wanted to watch.
No, like, but it's not like, I'll show
fighting
you.
And blowing
it's
up.
Not like a. It's not ridiculous action like The Expendables. I'm not talking about that.
Oh, okay.
It's like, it looks bad. Like, it looks bad.
I will say The Expendables, the first one was like, all right, this was cool. After the like third one, I was like.
You're like, all right.
All right, you guys need to stop.
That's enough. That's enough. Well, this is Microwave Coffee Podcast, and I'm Kajan Sundy.
And I'm Ivan Ortega.
And I'm Justin Park.
And if we sound tired, that's because we are.
We are. Sorry. For the past
that's because we're awake.
Eight episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was trying to pick my topic for today, and in like the most blatant display of insecure masculinity that I've ever seen in my life, I saw Jeff Bezos's rocket. That's like a straight up fucking penis.
Yeah. Looks like a giant penis.
I was so upset. I was so upset. You know what it looks like? I was already upset when he was planning it, and then he bust out this dick, and I was like, you could have saved billions of dollars if you just put a sock down there. I mean,
the first time I saw that rocket, it was like, have you ever seen, did they ever make you like do bottle rockets at school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what that looks like.
Yeah.
Like somebody was like, I'm just going to make the rocket I made in high school.
Yeah.
And then but like in real life.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I thought when I saw pictures of it, I thought they were just memes. Like, I thought somebody photoshopped it. And then I look it up, no. And I'm like, that's literal penis.
I wish.
Like,
yeah. I was
like, it's a Hitachi, what's it called?
The vibrator.
The magic wand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's a massager.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry.
They get Hitachi really massager. Mad. Apparently, they get really mad
the
if
magic
you call it
massager.
They really do. Yeah, they get so upset. No, it reminded me of that episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Yep.
Where the banker was like, that's a penis.
Yeah,
that's a penis. Like, no, I'm not building that. Anyways, we're going to talk about an actual scientist who has contributed to this world and with like substance, not like Jeff Bezos. But we're going to talk about Judith Love Cohen. Judith Love Cohen was born on August 16th, 1933 in Brooklyn, New York. And I couldn't get much information on her like a lot of people, you know, back then. Back in the day. But I do know that she was a very smart cookie. And she was so smart that in elementary school, kids started paying her to do their math homework when she was in like third, fourth grade to do it. Oh, by the way, this is going to be like a super short episode, I think.
No.
Because I couldn't find too much on her.
We haven't done it on her?
We have not, no.
Okay.
No. Are you looking her up?
I'm looking through our past. Don't look at her.
Okay.
Podcast, because I thought
episode 57.
You might have.
I'm just kidding.
Maybe you might have mentioned her.
I thought you had done it. Okay, never mind. No, I'm wrong. I may have just read something recently that made me
think of it. Yeah.
Anyway.
So
moving on.
Kids started paying her to do their math homework, and I was a little confused because I was reading up when she was in high school. And it said that she was often the only female in her math classes. But I was like a little confused. I was like, was it not required for women back then? Like in high school, I thought it was, like, I know obviously for college it wasn't, but I'm like, maybe it wasn't a requirement for, maybe they like made them take home ec or something. Yeah. Yeah, something else. But
I was so upset when they took home ec away.
I think it is absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And I think they need to teach us how to do functional things in this world.
They still had it in junior high when I was in junior high.
They did?
Yeah, they had.
I never saw home ec class.
The year after, they took it away.
Oh my God. I never, in any of my schools, I never saw one.
Chula Vista Middle School. What was it? Yeah, Chula Vista.
They should bring that back. They really should. So when she decided that after high school that she wanted to go to college and eventually become a math teacher. And when her high school counselor said, you know, Judy, I think you ought to go to a nice finishing school and learn to be a lady. And she was like, I think you should go fuck yourself. And no, I'm not going to do that. So she ended up getting a scholarship and attended Brooklyn College with a major in math. But after starting at Brooklyn College, she decided that she was really interested in engineering. So she switched her major to engineering. Not only was Cohen one of the only, if not the only female engineer at Brooklyn College, she was also a dancer with the New York Metropolitan Opera. So she was like busy, busy woman.
Mm-hmm.
And after she attended Brooklyn College for 2 years, she married fellow engineer Bernard Siegel.
I was going to say, I was like, I bet you she married some other engineer because she's the only woman probably. And everyone was like, me first.
Yeah.
I saw her first.
Yeah. Look, a girl.
A woman. Yeah.
So they moved to California, and Cohen joined the North American Aviation, where she worked as a junior engineer. So Cohen and Siegel had three children, Howard, Rachel, and Neil. Neil Siegel actually went on to be a very successful, or a very accomplished computer scientist and systems engineer. And he's also a very talented musician who continues to tour and perform today. So I guess Cohen thought that being the only female engineer at her job and having three kids wasn't enough of a challenge, because she then began attending USC School of Engineering at night, and then went on to receive both her bachelor's and master's degree at USC. So
her husband's cool for,
yeah,
like being like cool with it,
because who's watching those kids?
Yeah. I mean, he probably was.
Yeah.
Or maybe they hired someone, either way.
Yeah, either way. So Cohen said that when she attended USC, sadly, she attended it without ever meeting another female engineering student. So at the time at USC, she was the only engineering student. Oh, and sadly, it is that way to this day, because
she's still the only.
I think. Yeah, I know. She's still the only one. Yeah, when I was at San Diego State in 2011, there was a fellow student who was majoring in mechanical engineering, and she was one of five women in the entire program. Like, there was nobody in there.
Yeah,
I think it's still the same.
Vanessa's cousin graduated in SCSU with engineering. I think there was only three of them, like including her, there was only three women in the entire.
Wow.
Yeah.
So after graduating USC in 1957, she worked as an engineer for Space Technology Laboratories. Cohen and Siegel ended up separating shortly after. And then she married another fellow engineer named Thomas William Black. So while working at Space Technology Laboratories, Cohen worked on the she was one of the people that started the abort guidance system in the Apollo lunar module for upcoming Apollo missions. A little disclaimer: this is a brief and like super oversimplified version of what I'm about to describe to you about the system, because like I barely passed basic math, so I'm like I don't understand really. Like, this is what I got out of it. So the Apollo abort guidance was a backup computer system that allowed astronauts to use the lunar module as sort of a lifeboat in like extreme emergency. So it would detach and allow them to like live if something happened on the main part. So luckily the abort guidance system was only used four times. The first time it was used was during Apollo 9. Once during Apollo 10, Apollo 11, and then, of course, most notably, it was used on Apollo 13. I don't remember if they brought this up during the film, but if you guys saw Apollo 13, you'll definitely remember, like, that most important scene. So, an oxygen tank exploded and left the service module crippled and forced the astronauts to use the abort system, and that's how they survived, basically. But they weren't able to go finish their mission, right? Like, I think they never reached the moon, and then like
they didn't reach.
Cohen worked tirelessly on this life-saving system even through the pregnancy of her fourth child. On August 28th, 1969, Cohen went on to work on a problem that they were having with the abort system when she went into labor. She saw this unexpected labor as a minor inconvenience. Like, she was at work. She knew she was going to give birth soon, obviously, but like she didn't, you know, she was like, I'm kind of in the middle of something. Yeah. And like, so she was like, okay, I guess I'll go give birth really quick. I'll be right back.
I'll be right
and
back.
Like told everybody, 15 minutes like, tops. Yeah, just real quick. And before she left, she grabbed a computer printout of the problem she was working on and continued to work from her hospital bed through her labor.
While giving birth.
Yeah.
That's the smartest baby.
I know. So later that day, Cohen's boss received a call and she said, I solved the problem, all excited, and then proceeded to explain what she did. And then she said, oh, yes. And the baby was born too. So funny that
the baby
you say
solved it.
That thing.
Yeah. Funny that you say that it must have been a very smart child. Cohen had just given birth. Yeah. Cohen had just given birth to her fourth child, Thomas Jacob Black, or Jack for short. It's Jack Black.
Oh my.
So yeah, he is a kind of a smart baby. Yeah. So Cohen's son, Neil, the oldest one, the one that I mentioned, also went on to engineering and a musician. He said, quote, when the disaster struck the Apollo 13 mission, it was the abort guidance system that brought the astronauts home safely. My mother usually considered her work on the Apollo program to be the highlight of her career. So Cohen went on as an engineer until her retirement in 1990. She was always an advocate for better treatment of women in the workplace. Cohen decided to become even more of a role model and wanted to do more role model stuff, more influential stuff for children. So Cohen and her third husband, David Katz, launched a publishing company, and they went on to release over 30 books for children. So they released a series called You Can Be a Woman, and it's like you can be a woman in ... and so like they do different subjects. So this included everything from you can be a woman engineer to you can be a woman soccer player, you can be a woman video game producer. So she like covered everything, all the jobs.
Nice.
She also published the Green Planet series, which taught children about the environment and how to be more aware of like climate change. She continued to tour and give lectures on her books. And her publishing company also released a book called The Women of Apollo, which included biographies of fellow female aerospace engineers. In 2016, after a short battle with cancer, Judith Love Cohen passed away in Culver City. She was 82. And that's it. That's the incredible but very short life of aerospace engineer.
Wow.
Judith Love Cohen. Yep. And thank you, as always, to Wikipedia and MamaMia.au and Goodreads.com.
Mamma Mia.
So, yeah. Jack Black was. Yeah, I got that from... I saw a little, like, trending video on... I don't remember if it was, like, on Instagram or TikTok. And it was like, did you know that Jack Black's mom saved the Apollo 13? And I was like, what? And then so...
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Yeah, very, very cool. So yeah, Jack Black. Jack Black was born Jack Black. He interrupted his mother's work.
Yeah.
God, what a jerk.
Yeah.
Jerk. Could have waited a little bit.
Yeah, you know.
What the heck?
Couldn't have waited till she was done.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, I don't know. To me, that world is just like nuts. Like when I first watched Apollo 13, I was like, dude, a fucking button went wrong. Like a button went wrong. It's like, it's just so insane to me that people are able to do that.
Yeah,
or
everything.
Like build that stuff.
Well, like even when they're flying, if they're even like less than like, they're just like a micro like off.
Yeah.
Like the target, they're gone. They're like on their way to like another planet somewhere
else.
That's
so crazy.
Yeah. If they're just a little bit off, it's like over.
Like I
fly straight into the sun.
It has to be perfect, like every single time. Like it can't go off.
I mean, do you think that they accept that they could die, or do you think that they're like very confident in their work that they're like, no, it'll probably go good.
No, I think it's like.
I think it's like if you go up there,
probably
right. Like I've told you guys that interview I saw with the bomb guy. The guys that wear like the giant suit and they go defuse bombs. And then one time they asked him if he was afraid or what he thought about or something like that, like while he was doing it. And then he was like, no, I don't worry because I'm there or I'm not. And then that's the way he thought about it. And he was like, okay.
Wow.
Like, yeah, he's just like
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
He's like, if I make a mistake, like he's not going to feel anything. It's just he's going to either be there and he'd succeed, or he's just dead. Not gonna be there.
Bro, I won't even go on a roller coaster. Like, I can't imagine.
I could not do that job. Like,
no, I couldn't either.
You know, like,
I would have to be very confident to do it, but I think I could do it. I'm very good under pressure, but
yeah,
I've never been under that pressure. But I think if I studied as much as those guys study,
you could
and, like, learn, I think I would be confident.
You're just like, I know this. I know how to do this. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like stomp people.
That's why,
like, they could get seriously hurt. We were just talking about the Jackass movie. It's like, they probably know, like, no, I could do this. Like, I've done this before. I know how to do this.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, even stunt people, I guess, yeah, they make mistakes and stuff. Like, I mean, you can make a mistake with the bomb, but I think, I don't know.
I don't like not knowing something, like
places where I've worked before. Like, for example, Hitachi, that's why I was always asking for, like, I want to learn that. I want to learn that. Like, I want to learn, because I don't like feeling like I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, like you don't know part of it?
I agree.
Yeah, I don't like that feeling. So, like, right now when I'm at this job, I'm like, I could do this, like, with my eyes. I could do all of it, basically.
Yeah, all of it, yeah.
And
that's a good feeling.
Yeah, and I'm whatever.
I mean, that's, like, part of your personality, because it's, like, that's why you do so much research on things. Yeah. Because it's, like, I want to know why.
I want to know why something works. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. So, I can't. That's why I was, like, I could probably do it if I studied, and if I, hopefully those people that work in, like, those police, they, like, give them time to research everything or learn everything or
tons
of training. Yeah, to be sure. Because, like, yeah, it's like how he said, like, either you make a mistake and you're not there anymore, or you save everyone's life.
And you get to live another day.
Yeah.
I saw I heard an episode of Criminal. I forgot what episode it is, but those of you listening should find it. It's an episode of Criminal where they interviewed this guy. So there was evidence they needed for a murder, for a crime, and rumor had it that they threw the gun in the La Brea tar pits, which, like, no one has ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent this, like, deep sea crime diver to go in, and he was, like, the first guy to do it. And that's one of the questions they asked him, because they were constantly telling him, like, you could die, and there are high chances that you're gonna die doing this, because if your suit cuts open, like, that's it. Like, we cannot get you out of there. And and he was like, yeah, you just, at that point, you just accept, like, yeah, I could die. So let's just have everything, like, prepared around. I'm like, I could never do that. Like, I could, if somebody was like, there's high chances, it's like, no, thank you. But I mean, he had said that it was also, to him, it was like this bigger deal, where it's like, what message are we giving people if we say, like, you can literally throw anything in there and we won't mind it? Like, he's like, what message is that sending to other criminals that can just say, like, yeah, I'll just go throw it in the tar pits? And so he's like, so I kind of wanted to prove that, no, we'll find it down there too. Like, we'll go down there and do it. And so that was, like, what was driving him. But
did they find it?
Yeah. And he made it out, but he almost died. They explained it in the episode, like, he didn't want to say. And he was only, they said you only have one chance and, like, only a specific amount of time.
Yeah.
And he went in and he wasn't able to do it on amount of time, and he almost died, and they pulled him out, and he went back in. Like, he was like, no, like,
no,
I know.
Send
he's
me
like,
back.
I know where it is. Like, I just need to get it back. And he did. Yeah. But it was like, it's a really interesting story.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
I was like, cause you can't see anything.
No.
How is he going to find it?
No. He said he felt it. Like, he could feel it. And he was like, I think he just couldn't, like, grip onto it. And then he was like, but I know where it is. I know where it is. Like, let me just go back down there. And yeah.
Dang.
But yeah, it's a really good episode.
Crazy.
Criminal.
People are crazy.
Check it out.
Yeah. Holy.
I know, it's nuts.
I don't know that I would do that. That's something I'm like, it just doesn't sound fun. And doesn't, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm surprised that was his drive.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know that I would have thought that it was that important.
Yeah, it would have been like, it's down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, can't we invent something like,
to go
hand.
Down.
Yeah, and then, like,
little arm.
It feels around.
That really shocked me. It like, really, like, yeah, feeling, tapping.
Yeah.
That really surprised me. I'm like, we haven't come up with something yet?
To go down there. You would think that they would be researching in the pit, right? To see what has been there probably for, you know, thousands of years or something.
Yeah.
I fell in the pit. That's what I
heard. Yeah, I fell in the pit. Where can they find us?
On Instagram at Microwave Coffee Podcast, or email us at microwavecoffeepodcast@gmail.com. Yay.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye. Could I get some more coffee?